Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center here at Intentional Life Media, Family Life Radio in Tucson. To you on our podcast and on the radio stations around the country. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Andrew today and Tara Sita and Stephen and our team from Intentional Living. One goal, to help you really experience all the freedom, all the peace, all the comfort, and just the really the life that God intends for you. And if you're struggling today in the topic area of marriage, you're going to find, I think, some help, encouragement, because I'm going to just bore in and focus on this topic around one of the key principles, the steps, the path to intentional life, and that is focusing on one thing every day that will make the biggest difference in a point of pain, a point of hurt, a point of hope, and a point of growth, in this case, in your marriage. So if you want to comment, please do so on our storyline when you call 888-888-1717. Let's get started. We're going to Debbie first. Let me see. In Michigan, go right ahead, Debbie. What's your one thing?
Well, me and my husband have been married for 45 years together, for going on 49 years. And while he was working, and he had a very difficult occupation, construction work, cement work, working on the roads, on the weekends when he didn't have to work, which was not very often, he would always wake me up in bed with coffee. And he retired just over 4 years ago, and he has woke me up with coffee every single morning since then.
Every day. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot to me because his, like I said, his occupation was hard, and raising three kids, our youngest had autism, it could feel very lonely, and it felt like a single mom a lot of times because he was working his fanny off for his family and just lonely. And now that he is retired, every day when he wakes me up, it's just, I will always wake up without him in the morning because he'd be gone at, you know, get up at 4 a.m. And off to work, and then falling asleep right after dinner, you know, because of his job. And it's just a way of me, he really makes me feel like I matter because he takes that time to, we live in a colonial, so he has to, you know, I'm sure he'd rather just sit and drink his coffee and read the, you know, the news and do his own thing, start on his yard work, you know, because he's always doing something. But he takes that time to walk up the flight of stairs, bring me my coffee, kind of give me a little back rub, wake me up, you know, and it makes me feel like I matter.
Yeah, because you do. That this is a guy, Debbie, thank you. You're married to a guy who's determined, and he may not even be just intentional, just be part of his character, just part of who he is. He just does it. It's habitual for him because you matter. And when something matters, something valuable in your life, what do? You value it. If you've got something valuable in your house, you protect it. You keep it away from the prying paws of a three-year-old child, right? Because it's valuable. And in our marriage, if our spouse is valued and our spouse is valuable to us, we're gonna raise them up and we're gonna take care of them. We're gonna do things to let them know how valuable they are. And if we're not doing that, it's hypocritical, and I think it's inconsistent to say, well, I value my spouse or my marriage, when I don't value my spouse or my marriage and how I behave. There has to be a connection between what I say my one thing is and then what I actually do. This is really the simplicity, the foundation of what our whole ministry is about. What is God's intention for whatever it is you're facing, and what one thing are you going to do today to be obedient to that, to move in that direction? Anything else is going to be, at best, a good intention, which is pure procrastination. And let's just be honest, that's the way it is. I mean, if you want to get out of debt and you feel that's going to be what God's intention is for you, and then your behavior today is go further in debts, use the credit card more often, spend what you can't afford, then there's a dissonance between what you say is your one thing and what you actually do. And whenever that happens, as a Christian, that's when we should feel the prick of the Holy Spirit, conviction, as we say often in the church community, that conviction that something's wrong. What happens, though, we can get to a place where it kind of burns that part of our nervous system, and we don't even sense it anymore. That's difficult. All right, let's get to the calls. Let me go to, wait a minute. Let's go first, then we're going to get to the caller. Let me go to Katie. Katie is in Michigan. Katie, how you doing today?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Appreciate you asking. What's your one thing for marriage?
So I've been married just over a year, and I've been listening to your show today.
Good.
And I just want to make the commitment to communication and asking how I can serve him better instead of focusing on our to-do list.
Mm. Has your communication been a little bumpy at times in this first year?
Not too bad, but just to continue to stay in that motion of growing closer.
Yeah. And so how do you do that? What one thing do you think you can do really specifically to improve communication or make it more, you know, to help build more intimacy in your marriage?
I would say giving credit to him when even if it's the smallest thing, to just encourage him, way to go. We're getting there step by step. Just praising him for every little step that he does take and not focusing on what still needs to be done.
Yeah, that's easy to do, isn't it? That's for sure. All right. Thank you for that call. Let me go to, am I going to Janine? Oh, all right. I guess she's not quite ready yet. Let's go to Lois in New Mexico. What's your one thing?
When my husband and I had our kids and they were younger, they're adults now, but when they were younger, there's so many things going on with the kids, with work, with your life, and, you know, you kind of get separated from each other. So what we started doing is having family or somebody watch our kids, and we would go out to Village Inn, and then you used to get a pot of coffee for your table, and but unlimited times, and we would go in and we would sit with coffee. Sometimes we get pie, but we would just drink coffee and we would talk to each other and they're in public, but we'd get a table separated from other people and we could look in each other's eyes and just talk about every single thing.
Well, you listen, it's those little things, and you've said that over years, you know, working on it and making that a priority in your marriage. That's good. All right, let me go to Georgia. Amanda, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're talking about one thing. What's one thing in your marriage that's made a difference?
The one thing in my marriage that made a difference is that I was obedient to God. I was on the verge of getting a divorce Labor Day weekend last year, and God told me to go home on Sunday, to go home and love my husband where he was and not where I wanted him to be, and leave my husband to him. So I went home that Sunday afternoon, and I loved my husband where he was, even though that's really not what I wanted to do. And I can tell you that a pastor showed up on Sunday afternoon and told my husband he loved him and he needed to come to church the following Sunday. The following Sunday, my husband came to church, got saved, and our marriage has totally turned around.
Wow.
Is it perfect? No. Do we still have hard days? Yes. But God is now in our marriage and in our family, and we are raising his grandchildren. So he had never had anything to do with them. It was always me. And now he's intentionally being in their lives. And he comes to church. We go to church as a family. And it was just being obedient to God.
Any regret that you went back that day?
No, not at all. Did I want to go back that day? No. When God told me that, I said, excuse me, I'm done. And anyway, I had an argument with God in the car. You know, you can do that occasionally.
And people are driving by hearing you arguing with God, wondering, what is the problem with this woman?
She's crazy, but that's okay. I did have that argument with God. I don't want to do this anymore. It's been 18 years, and the last 8 years have been the hardest years of my life with him. And I was worried about what the grandchildren were learning and you know, all the things. And I was leaving with his grandchildren. I was going to take his grandchildren because I have custody as well. And I wasn't, it was just going to be a bad situation. So, but I'm grateful.
There was a bell that rang somewhere in his head that day too, wasn't there? There had to be.
Yeah.
It was
I'll tell you what the bell was. I walked through the door and he looked at me and he said, "Why are you home? You're dressed and ready for church." And I looked at him very smart-alecky and I said, "Because God told me to come home and love you where you are and not where I want you to be." So I came home. I said, "Give me a few minutes so I can go in the bedroom and pull myself together and then let's sit down and talk." And we did.
Wow. Doesn't always turn out that way. Okay. I think we all recognize that. But she was being obedient. She really was sensing, Amanda, you were sensing what God was telling you and you did it. And you were an instrument of peace in your husband's life. And obviously it sounds like you still got a ways to go, but there was a break point. And one of the principles I think is really important if you have an issue in your marriage is sometimes, and let me give you an analogy. We all have probably had moments where you have a slow week, a leak in your tire on your car. You know, it loses a few pounds here and a few pounds there, and you're constantly taking it to the, you know, the tire place to put some air back in. There's a point where you have to stop the car, take the tire off, and get it fixed. And this is true in marriage. We ought not ignore or deny when we have problems in our marriage. Things need to be at times really confronted and confronted in a very intense, serious, intentional way. And we can call that a wake-up call. We can call it a marital crisis. You can call it a moment in time. But there are times when before God, we say, "God, I need you to lead me and direct me in this situation, but something has got to give and something has got to change." Because without that kind of change in our life, we're going to have a problem. All right. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate your call. Let me go to Janine in Ohio. Hi, Janine.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call today.
I appreciate your call. What's your take on all this power of one thing?
So my husband and I have been married for 26 years. And for about the last year, I had found out that he has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a preference for fighting it non-traditional methods. And he has a preference for not telling anyone else. So I did go against him in that I told our adult son because I felt he needed to know. But I've been praying for him that he would be able to see himself through God's eyes. I've been praying that God would help me to love him to the best of my ability for however much time I have with him.
Are you angry, Janine, that he's not taking a different course to treat this?
I had been angry before, but I've let that anger go. Done a lot of research for, you know, natural health methods, and I've purchased a lot of natural health methods, and sometimes he takes them and sometimes he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel shut out from his? Do you feel shut out from his journey?
Yes, I do.
How does it feel to you? That must be difficult for you.
It is. It is, absolutely. But I can love him and I can encourage him, but I can't change him. And he's absolutely a workaholic, and I'm not going to change that either. So even in that country song, it says, you know, live like you're dying. It tells you all the wonderful things you should do before you give up. And I can't get him to do any of those things.
Yeah. So you were really responding to my little teaching a moment ago about the difference between that area of control and the area of no control or influence.
yeah, I've had a whole year of crying and
Have you talked to him?
Oh, yes. Lots of times.
But not about what he ought to do, but about how you feel. Shut out, left out.
Yeah.
And you've told him.
Yeah.
And how does he respond?
Well, he has agreed to see a naturopath, but unfortunately she can't get him in for several months. So there was another one that was a little bit further of a drive, and I wanted him to go there instead because they could see him sooner.
Yeah, but, but my question, though, Janine,
to do the drive.
My question really, though, is how did he respond to you talking to him about feeling shut out from his life? You're not sure? He hasn't responded?
No, I'm not. He has responded, but I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I have to just accept that, yeah. You know, there's certain things he's willing to do and certain things he's not willing to do.
And this is the way he's...
loved me, and he's been a wonderful provider for us over the years and everything, but I just want more time.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what... If you want my input on this, if we're talking about the one thing, you're learning the fact I can't control him. This is the way he's dealing with it. And he's dealing with it the way he's been wired. He's going to work hard and he's going to do the best he can to stay healthy. And I don't know where he is spiritually, but he's going to trust God to take care of that in his life. And then you stand on the outside and the family thinking, hey, we want in, you know, we want to be a part of this process with you. And when we feel shut out of someone's experience, when they're going through a difficult time, that hurts, and it hurts a great deal. One of the things you could do is simply, I mean, you've made that commitment. Maybe today's the day, the break point. Again, you're saying, hey, I can't control my husband. I can't control his treatment. I can't control what he does, but I am going to pray for him and ask God to bless what he's doing. But I think it's also fair enough to sit down with your husband and say, honey, I want you to know how I feel. I feel shut out. I feel hurt because I don't want you to die. And if God's going to take you, I don't want him to take you any earlier than he has to, and I want more time with you. And it hurts me. I don't know. These are my words, not yours. Use yours. I don't know how you exactly feel, but what I heard was, and honey, I feel shut out. And when I try to talk to you about things that might be helpful or where you are, I feel shut out. Can you at least talk to me about why that's important to you so I understand why you're shutting me out? I'm suspect that there's a vulnerability there. If he opens up, that's going to be hard for him too. He's made a decision. And come on, some of us as guys, when we make a decision, this is a fact, psychological fact. When we make a decision, we spend our lives defending it. What's going on in our politic today? We make a decision about a political issue, and then we defend it. And that seems to be the success of so many of the influencers and talking heads on television and what have you. We all congregate around the talking head that supports our decision we've made about something. And that's true in this area as well. But I think it might be helpful for you to share how you feel, but then to say to your husband, but I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to just pray for you and love you, and you let me know how I can support you in the process. I know it's not easy, but we're talking about the difference between control and influence and about the power, you know, the power of one thing.
Something that I have observed in working with people over the years is that it's only the human beings within God's magnificent creation. It's only you and I as human beings, young and old, who limit our growth. Have you ever seen a tree that grows halfway and then stops? Have you ever seen anything in God's creation that doesn't reach for maximum potential? It's only the human being. It's only us as men and women that limit our growth. And the truth I want to share with you today is this. God made you and me to thrive.
And that is really the topic of the featured lesson here this month, is we've been made to thrive. And that's true in marriage as well. It's a lesson up on our website at theintentionallife.com over in the member section. And when you join to be a part of the support team, because we are 100% listener supported, we don't get any government sponsorship or any commercial income. We do have some business friends who help donate to the ministry, and that's a huge help. Individuals, singles, young and old. We got a very small budget. Everything that comes in goes back out. I've told the team we're going to be intentional. We don't borrow money to operate, and we won't. And if we ever got to a place where we had to, I would say then that's God closing the door for this, for what we do with intentional living. And if you believe in that, and you believe that the message of knowing Jesus Christ and then living for him intentionally resonates, I just would invite you to come and be a part of the journey with us today. You can call and just this number, the 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, push prompt 2, talk to our staff during business hours, or anytime online at theintentionallife.com, click on donate, and say, include me in, I want to be a part of it. And I just want to say on behalf of our team here, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it.
Well, good morning, Dr. Randy. I appreciate your program very much. And my one thing that I'm doing is a recent change. I've been a believer for 40-some years now, and I've always been a prayer, and there's been some challenges in my life with my marriage, and so I've been through a whole gambit of things of how to handle the challenges, and yet there has been no change. And so my most recent one thing is, in the morning before I start the day, I just slide out of bed and drop to my knees and pray and ask the Lord, number one, that I will love him with my whole heart, my whole soul, my mind, and all my strength. And then I ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance in my marriage and my day. I take a deep breath and say, we're out there together, Lord, and go for it. I don't need to give him details. I'm sure he's got it all. So I just pray that things will work out to his honor and glory. Thank you, Dr. Randy. I do appreciate your program. And even just this one thing has made some little changes in my marriage. And it's not about the changes that I see in the marriage. It's about the changes in me. And he's revealed to me the things that are hidden in my heart that need to be brought forth and prayed for and just washed clean. And so that's what I'm doing. You know, it's my one thing. I pray and remain open to his feet.
That's it. That's very good. You know, I hope this program today is resonating. And of course, we're talking about marriage, but this principle, this fact of the power of what we control and what we don't control, and then doing one thing works in any area. I mean, if you're broke today and you're struggling financially, same thing. You know, what do you have control over and what don't you? You can't control the economy, you can't control other people, but you do have control over maybe how you use your money and credit cards and where you go and what you spend and what you don't spend and putting a budget together and what you agree to and don't agree to and all of these things. And this is true in every area of our lives. Each area of our life, the same principle. Because when we get to the point of saying, Lord, what one thing can I do? Will you want me to do? What can I find in Scripture? Holy Spirit speaking to me, wise counsel, what's one thing that'll make a difference? And then get after it every day. That is the most powerful double punch you can do in your life and in my life. And that's true in marriage as well. So often we spend our time spinning our wheels in the areas we don't have control over instead of the areas we do. All right, let's get to Angela, who's calling from California.
Well, we'll be married 39 years in January, and I think our best thing we do is we've gone to church faithfully for almost 39 years and served the same amount of time. And I think that always reminds us about God and Jesus in our heart. And fellowshipping, the whole thing that church does for a person, when you regularly go and you make that your family, Yeah, I think that's our number one, probably.
Do you do something together?
Yes, we're on a prayer team together.
What difference do you think that's made? In what ways has it made a difference in your life and your marriage?
Well, we definitely have our main thing in our life in common, right? We have God is our main thing, and he's a very strong believer. He faced cancer four times since 2016, and that really brought him closer to the Lord.
Yes.
Right now, he's cancer-free, so we're good.
Amen.
But that was very hard. I just think the constant reminder, we never get far off because we're there every Sunday, we're there every Thursday. He leads men's group on Wednesday. I go to Bible study on Wednesday. We're not perfect, but I know it has to help. Yeah.
Well, I think a couple things. One is not only is it the fact that you're serving together and doing, you know, spiritual growth in your life, and but you're spending time together and you both have some shared goals, which are really key that couples have some things. They have, we do our own thing, but we have some shared goals, some things that we do together that can really connect us. You know, I mentioned to my wife, Donna, we were talking about something and I said, you know, opposites attract, but it's the similarities that really hold us together. And so when we have that bond around our spiritual life, around church, around our family, you know, around the things that matter to us, and we're in agreement, that's like a glue that really holds us together.
Right.
Yeah.
And anytime I want to pray for anything, he says, okay, and we grab hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
So we have things to work on. It's not easy street for us, our personalities, which I wish it was easier. But I wanted to say, too, one thing I like to do for him is we sleep in separate rooms, unfortunately, because of snoring. But I pull down his bed, and I pull his blankie up where he wants it, and I turn on two dim little lights. He goes to bed after me, so all he's got to do is just pokes right in there, all and right. It's all set up for him.
That's good, Angela. Or get him a bed that comes up a little bit so he doesn't have to snore and move him in with you. That's it for the day. Listen, your comments are welcome. We love hearing from you. Intentional living is for you. It's for you. It's for me. God is an intentional God. He loves you intentionally. And you're going to find your greatest success when you choose to follow him intentionally every day. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Andrew and Stephen today and our team. God bless you. We'll be back again with more right here from our Intentional Life Media Center in Tucson, Arizona. Have a great day.